You know, that area, when you drive up into it, is under construction. A lot of work going on the roads in that area. That's the case in a lot of places. You know, you go and roads have to be improved. Things maybe bright and fresh and new, paint on the newly put down asphalt and all that sort of thing. But over time, there's breakdowns, there's problems. Things have to be worked on again and again. And that's how it is in our lives as well. We move through each day and we assess ourselves in view of what God's Word teaches. We see areas of strength. We also see areas of weakness. We understand there's places that need work that we have to, you know, labor at and apply ourselves and grow in. We are lives under construction. That will always be the case because we are constantly needing to grow. There are examples of that in the Word of God as well, as we notice individuals who needed work. Of course, we remember the Apostle Peter. Remember Luke chapter 22, the scene where Peter, after Jesus is taken, he follows at a distance. And Peter then is real close to where he can see what's going on, and he's witnessing what they're doing to Jesus, and then he's questioned, "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And as you remember, three times, one after the other, he denies the Lord. He doesn't remember until the rooster crows what Jesus had told him, that you will deny me, three times before the rooster crows. And he did, and of course, he went out and it says he wept very bitterly. We also have the occasion in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and following, where Peter, on that occasion, again in a moment of weakness, turns away from Gentile brethren to satisfy the Jews who had come with Paul, James, and it was a sad occasion because here he acts in such a manner as to indicate that though the Gentiles are supposed to be followers of the covenant of Christ, here is Peter essentially acting as if there is still a barrier when that barrier has been broken down, and these are brethren, and all should be one in unity, and there should be no disposition as he had. And so Paul confronted him about that. But of course, Peter, despite his weaknesses, we know made progress in the right direction. And of course, in Acts chapter 4, in verse 17 and following, this is after the Sanhedrin council has come together, and Peter and John, because of the miracle that has been performed, they are being questioned, and we see their intention. They say, "But so that it spreads no further," this message about Christ and the miracle that has been performed, "so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So here you see courage where there had formerly been fear. We can make this kind of progress, advancement, where we might have fallen before, we can stand strong in the future. Just because something has tripped us up, just because some sin has enticed us, doesn't mean that there's no hope, because instead we can realize the Lord is our helper, He's our strength, His Word will help us to grow stronger so that we can resist temptation. And when we do resist and we do overcome and have that victory, you see, that's a pattern that we can continue of steadfast perseverance. Construction is ongoing. We must do a number of things, but there's two things in the scriptures that we read about in particular that's expected of us. We know one of them is the child of God is expected to bear fruit, make advancement in regard to what God wants to see when He comes and checks on you. Jesus told the parable in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, about the fig tree. And the master came and checked. Hey, there's no fruit here. Why is that? Cut it down. But there was the husbandman who administered to, took care of, fertilized. He was the one that tended to the tree. And he says, why don't we wait and give me some time to fertilize it and work with it. And then if it still doesn't bear fruit, then we'll cut it down and cast it into the fire. In other words, the expectation of heaven is that we do work on ourselves, that we do move beyond where we are after our initial conversion, and as we sort of sprout as a little seed, God's Word planted in our hearts, grows, brings forth the child of God because we've obeyed the truth, the seed. And then that growth should lead to a time when the leaves come forth, and after enough time, fruit will be seen. People know that from planting fruit trees. You don't necessarily get fruit the first year after you plant it. There will be some time with some trees, several years, and then finally you'll get fruit. But if that doesn't happen, then you realize something's wrong here, and it does waste the ground. It doesn't do what it's expected to do. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and following, all about developing what God wants to see, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. There's the battle, Paul points out in that context, between the flesh and the Spirit. The ways of the flesh bring death. You will not inherit the kingdom and eternal life, he says. But sowing according to the Spirit results in these beautiful qualities coming forth in your life. And there's no law against those things. Instead, that makes you more and more like the Lord, developing and bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But also we have the picture regarding construction in our lives of building on a foundation. And Peter mentions that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following, where Peter, by inspiration, talks about giving all diligence. In other words, if you are going to advance beyond your foundation, then you have to apply yourself with great fervency, great determination, as opposed to a spirit of apathy, indifference. Nothing will happen. Great houses, skyscrapers don't get built when people don't have a mind to work. When we recall what the Jewish people did under Nehemiah's direction, when they built up that wall surrounding Jerusalem in such a remarkably short period of time, it was because of that disposition of heart that the people had. That certainly applies to all that we do. And if we have a sense of determination and we see the urgency of the important work that God has given to us, and we apply ourselves, and we also realize the promise of God through His Son, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, after He gave the commission to go, we realize we have someone who's told us, made a promise that He's going to help us to do the work, to build, to construct, to build the church, to build our own lives. It can and it will be done if we have that proper mindset. But building upon the foundation, Peter points out, is essential. You add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, brotherly kindness, all these qualities and characteristics, because, he says, when you do these things, when you build upon it, they will make it so that you will never stumble, in the sense that you will not so turn away from the faith as to never come back. We sin at times, but when you devote yourself to this kind of growth, building on your foundation, you assure yourself of staying on the path that leads to heaven. Tonight, if you're not on that path, realize that the building must begin, the construction must begin. And it all starts when a person acknowledges what the Bible says to be true, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's where we start. And then putting away the mindset of living for self, enjoying the pleasures of sin. No, it's about living for God every day. That's a hard, hard life. It's not that it's not a life that has joy, but it is a hard life, because we're told that the way that leads to life eternal is difficult. Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14. But it's not too difficult, because we have God's guidance, the strength He gives us through His Word, and the assurance that he'll always be with us. So it's very doable, but it will be a challenge. Nonetheless, when we come into the family of God and we attain that hope of salvation, we must maintain that walk with God and that faithfulness so that we can stay in God's good grace. You see, we are blessed with a great gift. You can't earn your salvation, no. Grace is the gift of God. You can't merit it. And yet, we're told that you access that grace through an active, living faith that is demonstrated by what you do in response to God's will. And thus, as the examples are given in James chapter 2 with Abraham and Rahab, if we comply with what God says, then we have living faith, saving faith, and through that continually are in the good favor of God or His grace because we show ourselves to be truly faithful and loving servants. If you are not walking with God or have turned from the path, know that tonight you can make a change. Won't you come as we stand and sing?